Morning. Welcome to Cross Life Bible Church. Good to see you here this morning. We've got so much packing this morning and then with the picnic following. But I just want to first of all start off by saying thank you so much for being here today. It's a very special day. It's been very busy this week. But I'm so glad that we're here this morning. We're here to worship. We're going to worship a little differently this week because we're going to review VBS. And I'm going to be sharing some things what happened this week. I'm even going to allow you to share testimonies, whether you're a leader, a parent, a child. If the Lord puts it on your heart to share, be ready to share in just a little bit when we get to testimony time. But I need all the kids who are in Vacation Bible School, whoever's here this morning, stand up. All the kids. Just the kids. Stand up. Stand up. Okay, we got more. Okay, we got to have a hand. Okay. Gage, are you standing? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, now I need you to come up here with me. Come up here with me. Come on up here, Tony and Vinny, and yep, all the children who are at VBS this week. I know we're missing some. Okay, come on up, and some may trickle in even after we get started, but come on up here on the platform with me, because see that screen back there in the back? We have a screen here and a screen here. The first song that we're going to sing today is a song that we started off every night with. Can you remember what the song is? Welcome to Wonder World. Now that they're up here, you stand up. You can't not sing this song sitting down. Then you'll know why in just a second. This is the song every night that we opened up with for Vacation Bible School. Are you guys ready? Now you gotta teach everybody the hand motions because Miss Jade's not here and she helped me lead this week and she couldn't make it this morning. So you got to take Miss Jade's place, okay? So go ahead and if you look at the screen, that will give us the words and the hand motions. Are you guys ready? Okay, here we go. Let's start. Stay right there. I'm going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and I am so thankful for all the children that came out this week and even this morning. And so let me go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, I just think about Mary and Joseph in that stable many years ago and how Mary pondered what happened in her heart, and even the shepherds wondered. And so even this week, Lord, we came to Wonder World, and we opened up your word. And we studied and we learned. So we don't need to wonder, but at the same time, we stand in awe of your greatness. We thank you so much for the gospel this morning. I thank you so much for this church. I pray now, even now, that you would bless this service. And as the gospel is shared, once again, if there's anybody here, they've never received you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Thank you so much for seeking and saving the lost. Thank you so much for that promise you made at the very beginning. And thank you so much for keeping every word. And as Jesus said, he didn't come here to destroy the law, but to fulfill every jot and tittle. So Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. And we thank you for this church. And we pray now that you would be honored, that you would be praised and glorified. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go sit down. And again, welcome to Cross Life. If you can, Michael's going to come up at this time, and we're going to sing a song, but it's not going to be the video. This is in the hymn book, but this is To God Be the Glory, because really this is the heart of missions. And this is a summer mission of EBS, at Cross Life, when we have a vacation Bible school. This is a summer mission where we reach out to the community. But here's the heart of missions, is leading people to Jesus so they too can join us in giving God the glory. That's the heart of missions. So Michael's going to lead us.
Amen. Let's all stand, please. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. Blessed offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
He hath done, but great things he continues to do, right? And I'll tell you something that was great this week. If you would have looked at the weather forecast at the end of last week, they were calling for thunderstorms every night this week, and we were outside on VBS. We did not have to move one thing because of rain or thunderstorms. But last night, God said, okay. Right? And things were different last night, but throughout the week. Wasn't that amazing? That was a direct answer to prayer. I've just been praising him all week for that. So our call to worship this morning is for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is what? Now listen to me. I picked this verse because of this week at Vacation Bible School. We have children here who do not know Jesus as their Savior. And where do we start with them? We're laying the foundation. And there's no other foundation. We are not going to go off, right? We can have a lot of fun, but that's not what really at the heart of it, right? It's laying that foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ, who will change your heart, change your mind, transform your life. And all this crazy stuff that you're watching the news today, is the answer is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. I promise you. I promise you. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Now we're going to sing Love Came Down. I love this song. But when you say love came down, who do you think of? He came down because God so loved that he gave. And now listen to me. Just like Isaac obeyed Abraham when he said, up on the altar. That was a picture of Jesus coming down, right? Jesus obeyed when his dad said, here's the mission. And he sent his son. And that's why Jesus kept reminding his disciples, I'm doing what my dad told me to do. Hey, mom, I must be about my dad's business. Isn't that awesome? So we're going to sing about Love Come Down.
I will sing forever of your love come down. With your hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. I once was blind, I could not see. A chains of sin had shackled me. God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. Oh, oh, oh. My praise so sweet, it floods my soul. This hope eternal will won't let go. My debt he raised at Calvary. But Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. Oh, oh, oh. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. I will sing forever of your love come down. I will pass to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. Forever of your love come down. Forever of your love come down. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. We got one more.
Thanks be to God, who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, who gives the victory through Christ. Thanks be to God, who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. be to God, who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, who gives the victory through Christ. Gives the victory through Christ.
Hey, man, you can be seated. You can be seated. That's awesome. This time, Michael's going to come up, and he's going to ask a blessing on the gifts and offerings. But if you notice, I'll remind you at the end, but see this jug up here in the front? As the children came in each week, we've been collecting, we collect offerings every Vacation Bible School. We always designate that to a missionary. This year, the missionary was the Arahos. I'll show you their picture at the end of the service, but this is what this jug is for up here. So Michael's going to thank the Lord for the offerings for the church and even the offerings for the missionaries.
Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for this day, we've come here in this house, Lord, to praise and honor you, not only for the things that you've done for us and for this past week, but for our future events. We thank you for our salvation, for those of us who trusted in you. Lord, we just pray that those who came to the VBS, who did not know you at the time they came, started that first Monday, but by that Friday, they did accept you as Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Lord, we're thankful for the offering that the kids came and gave of their own, that they were able to support our missionaries, able to understand what the importance of giving is all about. Lord, we're thankful for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for the weather that you gave us. Thank you for the time that you gave us and the opportunities that you give us. We thank you for everything and for the facility that we're in. Lord, we just ask now that for what we would do now to give back a little bit of what you've given to us, a little bit of our monetary money that we have, that we give it back to you, and that we may continue to support the missionaries around the world and the church that we have here in this local community. And Lord, we just pray that as we honor you and the things that we give, that you would be pleased in our service towards you. And these things we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Michael's going to, as he goes back, I'm going to introduce you to the puppets up here. They've been here with us every night this week, but there's power in puppetry. I've been in youth ministry for many years and just always appreciate those who are willing to, and this is what's neat about ministry. Some folks, they don't like being up here talking like I am, but if I put them behind a black curtain and put a puppet on their hand, it transforms you. We used to go do clubs out in the neighborhood. I learned this a long time ago. If I went to the neighborhood and invited folks to, if I'm going to have like a Bible story over in the park, you know, you'll get a few kids. But if I put a puppet on my hand and walk through the neighborhood, every kid will notice and say, hey, what's going on? Hey, meet me over at the blue tarp at the swing set in about 15 minutes. There's power in puppetry, especially when they're sharing the gospel, when the puppets are sharing the gospel. And I want to thank all the puppeteers for being out this week, and they've been rotating, because not everybody can make it all week. So anyway, so let's go ahead and see what the puppets have for us this morning.
I think it's going to be another exciting day here at Wonder World Fun Fest.
Every day is an exciting day here.
Every day is a busy day around here. I've got a ton of work to do. The cotton candy machine needs fixing again, and the bumper cars need a good polishing.
Where are Doug and Charlotte? They'd probably love to help with some of that stuff.
Here they are.
Hi, everybody.
We just stopped in to say goodbye.
Goodbye? But the midway is just getting going.
We know, but I think our time at the fair is done.
What are you talking about?
We tried hard. Honest, we did.
But nothing we did seemed to work out.
We tried being MCs for the fair, but that's Hamilton's job.
And he's way better at it than we are.
Then we tried our strongman act.
But we weren't really that strong.
And what about the time we tried to make ice cream?
Our flavors weren't very tasty.
Then we tried doing a guessing game for the midway.
But we couldn't guess anything right.
And obviously, we're not going to be doing a human cannonball act anytime soon.
It seems that we're just not cut out for working at the fair.
Now, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
I'll say it is.
But none of the things we tried to do worked.
Now, that's not true at all. You two have been such a huge help around here.
Yeah, you helped me clean out the stables, and then you helped me repaint the fence around the barn. That was a huge help.
You helped fill up balloons when we needed them. Oh, and you popped more popcorn whenever we sold out.
I think Doug ate more popcorn than he popped.
You and Hamilton ate a lot of the popcorn, too.
You two sold tickets at the gate and put up posters all over town so people would know about the fair. You two have done so much, I'm not sure what I would have done without you.
Me too.
Me three.
All your hard work has been such an extraordinary gift to all of us here at Wonder World Fun Fest.
I guess we have done a lot of things to help out.
Yeah, but still, I sometimes wish we could do things that weren't, well, little things.
You know, not everyone ends up wearing the ribbon that says Best of Show. But that doesn't mean everyone isn't important for keeping this fair going.
It's the little things that make all the difference.
The fact that you two have been so helpful with the little things shows me you have good hearts. It shows me you care deeply about others. I know that as you get older, you're going to continue to care for others and tell them about the amazing thing God did for them by sending His Son, the extraordinary Savior Jesus.
Sure wish you kids were staying, though. Got an awful lot to do around here.
I hear the cotton candy machine needs fixing. I'm not so sure Stanley can handle a job like that all on his own.
Folks might have to do without cotton candy at the fair if we can't fix that thing.
Hang on. I mean, we wouldn't want the folks who come to the fair to have no cotton candy.
Of course not. That would be terrible.
So you two will stay?
We're ready to do whatever little things need to be done.
And help people find out about our extraordinary Savior, Jesus. He's more wonderful than anyone or anything.
That's the best news I've heard all day. Let's get going. That machine isn't gonna fix itself.
And when that machine is running again, I'll help taste test the cotton candy. You know, just to make sure the machine is working right.
All right, puppeteers, can you come out behind the stage? We want to see who's back there. There you go. All right. And then Leah. Come on now. Okay, there you go. All right. Yeah, I want to thank these guys so much. Yeah, come on out, because you can come on out here, because this week, like I say, this team was rotating, and a couple, like Jade would rotate with Leah throughout the week. This is Andrew and Alina's first time doing a puppeteer, right? And Andrew, if you notice, he's holding his arm. He's the only guy, and he's complaining about his arm hurting, okay? I've been giving a hard time all week, right? Anyway, but I tell you what, I had a blast with these guys. I want to thank you guys so much. And was that your first time being a puppeteer, Leah?
Yeah.
Very first time? Yours, Shelly? Andrew? Alina? I know, Randy, you've done it in the past. But didn't he do a good job?
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You can be seated. You can be seated. This time, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share a testimony. Now, it could be a testimony of from a dog, from a child, from a parent. If the Lord puts it on your heart to share something this morning, because I got lots to say, but I'm going to give you the opportunity at this point to share. Actually, I have one person I've already asked to start us. Right, Ethan? Ethan's going to start us, because he already shared a testimony with me this morning. I asked him to share it to start us off this morning. Ethan, what's one thing that you are thankful for that happened here at VBS this week? And this is Ethan's first time here to Cross Life, was this week. And, yeah. And, can I tell the story about something happened this week when you introduced yourself to me? And would you mind if I tell that? Where's Jennifer? Can I tell the story, Jennifer? Because he made me cry this week. Ethan made me cry. And here's what he did. We're walking out, and I was pushing all week for you to invite your parents to Friday night. Ethan runs up to me out here, and he goes, I think you call me Pat. I'm not sure what you call me. He said, but I just want you to know that my mom will be here. But then he told me this, he goes, but I don't have a dad. And so I looked at him, and my first reaction was, Ethan, when you're here, I'll be your dad. And he gave me the biggest hug. He responded to that statement with the biggest hug and brought tears to my eyes. And I just stood there looking at him like, thank you, Ethan. So you made my night that night, right? So thank you so much. I appreciate you. We got a song. Let's all stand up. We're going to sing Oh Praise Him. Oh Praise Him before I share our devotion with you this morning. Oh Praise Him.
Thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. He brings us life. He brings us light. His works are too many, too wonderful for words. Thank God for Jesus, God's gift.
Week we still had a few folks recovering. Most have gotten through the sickness and they were helping out this week. But Loretta was one of them. Loretta Gaffney, she is home today, but she's doing so much better. And she texted me yesterday and just was praising the Lord. Sam is doing a whole lot better, and he's praising the Lord. But there's one you need to pray for Bill and Jean Neal. And I didn't talk to Bill yesterday. I talked to him on Friday. But Jean is in the hospital in Frederick, and she has some underlying conditions. So keep praying for Jean. And so pray for that, because he wouldn't be here to sing today, but he's going to sing when he when he gets better. So continue to pray for them. But again, I'm so thankful. And even, who can tell me the goats' names? I was just seeing the goats. You remember the goats' names? I was just wondering if the kids remembered. Ethan?
I think one was Gus.
Gus was one.
Gus.
And what was the other one? You remember the other one?
Kiwi.
Kiwi and Gus. Is that right, Eleanor? Kiwi and Gus. Well, I'll tell you what, this week, as you see on the screen, this is the lessons that we learned. We actually did different this year where we taught lessons 1 through 4, and I'm teaching the 5th lesson today here on Sunday morning. But the theme of this week was about our extraordinary Jesus. Our extraordinary Jesus. And I was reminding the kids this week of what it means to be extraordinary. I remember when I was a teenager, I went to Harvester Baptist Church. And there at Harvester Baptist Church, they showed a video, if you can Google it, it was called Just an Ordinary Guy. Just an Ordinary Guy. It was just an ordinary guy that decided to get involved and invest in other people's lives. Anybody ever see that movie? It's an old Christian movie called The Ordinary Guy. You can look it up. And at the end of that night, that touched me, just how God could use an ordinary guy in his service. And that was the night that I went to the youth group leader and I shared, you know, I want to get serious about my faith. I was already saved, but I just wasn't living for Jesus 100%. And he's the one who said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go back to Faith Bible Church where I was, you know, that was my church. I was visiting this youth group that night. And I went back and told Pastor Peters. I said, Pastor Peters, that, you know, Friday night I went to this youth group and I talked to the youth leader and he told me to come see you. And this is what he did. He said, hey, what are you doing next Saturday? And I said, I don't know. He goes, I want you to come with me somewhere. So that's the day that Pastor Dan Peters from Faith Bible Church took me to the Elkridge Fair. I mean, it was the Elkridge Drive-In, but they took one Saturday out of the year and they made a carnival-like day. And so we had a booth set up there where we had a picture of the rapture. Some of you may remember that method. We'd have a picture of the rapture, and people would walk by and say, what in the world is this? You would see all these planes crashing, cars crashing, these souls like floating up. So what is, and he would say, can you tell me what, this is in the Bible. Can you tell me, you know, what this is a picture of? And then we'd show him a timeline and say, if you can show me where we are on the timeline, and then answer a few questions, I'll give you a copy of the picture with the map. Now just remember, a week before this, I went to Awana's, I went to Sunday school, I went to a Christian school. But as far as living for Jesus, giving him 100% of my life, I hadn't got to that point yet. And so here I am, I'm sharing the gospel. Led 2 teenagers to the Lord that day. And God ignited something in my heart that's never gone out to this day. I'm 56 years old today. And it has never gone out. And you know what he did? He showed an ordinary guy something extraordinary. Because Satan had me convinced that he could use everybody else but me. I can use you. Yeah, but what about I can use you? And did I falter along the way? Yes, I did. I've had my ups and downs, but guess who's never left me? He's never forsaken me. He is so extraordinary because people have let me down and have left me, but my Savior has never to this day. And so this week, we pointed out to the children from Genesis chapter 1, we pointed out that God is, he has this plan. And way back when we failed, he had a plan of salvation already in place, right? And then John 1, I share all these from the Gospel of John because I love taking people through the Gospel of John because John 1, verse 1 says what? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? In the beginning was the Word. He had a plan. And that plan included Jesus because John 1's talking about Jesus, right? He had a plan. He had an extraordinary plan. And then in John chapter 2, we find Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bible, just flip with me through John as I just share a few things with you as we work up to John chapter 11. But in John chapter 2, I love this you know, this one verse here, of course I love it all, but there's one verse that's very revealing in John chapter 2, because here Jesus has just recruited or called his first couple disciples. And guess where he takes them? He takes them, of all places, to a wedding ceremony that his mom is helping at, right? And so they run out of wine. And the master of the wedding, the guy that's in charge of everything, he's embarrassed. And he's like, what am I going to do? And Mary says, wait a minute. And she went to Jesus. And Jesus told the servants, remember, to fill up the pitchers of water. And he changed the water to wine. But here's the thing. Please don't stop and just focus on, you know, the wine. This is what happens when you study the Bible. Sometimes you end up focusing on the wrong thing. That John's pointing out something in that event, but it wasn't the wine. Because when you look at verse 11 of John chapter 2, it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, now catch this, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. He took his disciples, he changed it. He did it in the presence of these disciples, his new followers, to manifest his glory. That's why he did it. And this was the first one. But at this time, we know their faith, that word for when they believed in him, that's the word for faith. But how big was their faith at this moment in their lives? We know by reading the story, it wasn't that much, but it was a little bit. It amazed them, right? And so we see the power of Jesus. That's extraordinary. And then you get to John chapter 6, if you want to flip over a couple pages, and you'll find where Jesus is again. In verse 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes, of John 6, verse 5, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, hey Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now at this time, people are following him, multitudes are gathering. Jesus loved the multitude to even consider their stomachs, right? We need to feed the folks. Hey, Philip. Now, if you keep reading, it says, and Jesus tested Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. He knew what Philip was going to say and how Philip would respond. And how did Philip respond? He said, wait a minute, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them, even if we just gave them a little bit. And Jesus said, then later he says, but there is someone here. Look, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a little boy here, there's a lad, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Again, you take the ordinary, just an ordinary lunch, right? What can God do with a little boy's lunch? Just an ordinary lunch. He can, what? Make something extraordinary. And I call that his provision. It's extraordinary what he provides for you and me. Don't let the world dictate to you what you need, because they will never satisfy the soul that God put inside you. And that's the problem even in the church today. The church has adopted the ways of the world, trying to satisfy souls. Now, I will tell you this, that will generate a lot of fun on a Sunday morning. But when you go back to your home and you face those things that you've been struggling with, it's not going to get you very far. It's not going to satisfy that soul's hunger, right? It's an extraordinary provision, because look what Jesus really did. It's not even about the bread and the fish. If you keep reading, look at verse 14. Then those men, this one about the disciples, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, look at the next step in their faith. They said this, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. They took another step, didn't they? You see what Jesus is doing? He's taking this little faith and he's getting them to take the next step. Just the next step, trust me. You saw the water change of wine. Now you saw 5,000. And by the way, it wasn't the 5,000. It was when they collected up the fragments and they had 12 baskets left. When, right? Wow, extraordinary. And then we see also John chapter 9, if you flip over a couple pages, you'll see, well, I preached on this a couple weeks ago, where I am convinced where the disciples, they saw this blind man, and they asked the question, hey, Jesus, wait a minute, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said in verse 3, it's not about this man, it's not about his parents, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night's coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, God had a plan. He had a purpose from the very beginning where this man who was born blind, he knew that one day he would give him sight, restore his sight. Well, get, not even restore it. He never had sight. Give him new sight. Isn't this extraordinary? Because God has an extraordinary purpose for every single person in this room. Do you realize that? And then as we wrap up this morning, we come to John chapter 11. And this is the lesson that we would have taught on Friday night. But it's about Jesus and Lazarus. And I love the personal investment, this extraordinary personal investment in the lives of others. Now, I don't know about you, but when you just dwell on that thought, that principle, that God in the flesh would even care about having a relationship with me, that astounds me. That's not ordinary. And if you think it is ordinary, your pride is up somewhere where it shouldn't be. Because when you think about the creator of the universe and you think you're so great that really you deserve, you're off. See, when you realize that the creator of the universe, when everything was perfect and we messed things up, and he loved us enough by his grace, sent his only begotten son to die for me and invest in Quint Merson personally, it's extraordinary. Because I want you to notice in John chapter 11, I'm not going to, there's 50 some verses in this chapter, but all I want you to notice is this. I want you to notice, first of all, the delay in verses 1 through 16. Do you realize if you start the beginning of this chapter, this is a beautiful picture of the gospel and even the way that God works today? Because it says there was a certain man who was what? He was sick. Well, that's ordinary. His name was Lazarus of Bethany. He had a brother, he had two sisters named Mary and Martha. Now, John points out to us, now remember, Mary's the one who anointed Jesus with this oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And look at this. But now their brother Lazarus is sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for what? Here it is again. But for the glory of God. I want you to think about something as I just shared a few principles with you this morning. First of all, as we think about the delay, I want you to think about with me your own life for a second. Have you noticed that not everything goes your way? Life is unpredictable, right? Can I tell you something even now? This morning, if you knew what I did this morning, I'm going to share with you something that happened to me this morning. Actually, it started yesterday. Yesterday, Kathy, I got up and went out for a ride, and we had breakfast up in Gettysburg with a few guys and gals, and so I came back. I said, Kathy, you're ready to go over to the church, and we'll start cleaning up, getting ready for tomorrow. So we got in a pickup truck, came over here, and some other folks from you came over and helped out, and I'm so appreciative of that. And we came over, and then when we left here, we went to Westminster to get some things for today. And I'm watching it, and when I got home, because I rode my motorcycle up to Gettysburg for the breakfast yesterday. But yesterday morning when I went to go, I backed my bike out of the trailer, went to ride, and my front tire was flat. So I'm like, Lord, thank God I have another one in the shed. So I went and got the one I have for my son. He's not in town. So I went and got on his bike, and I rode up to Gettysburg, came back. And so when I got back, I was in such a hurry. I left both bikes out yesterday. My lawnmower's out in the yard where I had to back my bike out yesterday morning real early. And so sure enough, I'm driving to town, and we're both hungry. So I'll grab something to eat. We'll run to the grocery store, grab what we need, and I'm going to try to make it home before it rains, right? I can see the dark clouds and hear the thunder in the distance. Well, sure enough, by the time what happens, you have groceries to carry in. What's it going to be doing outside? It's pouring down rain, right? Talking about the unexpected, I had a flat tire, and now it's in my mind, I'm thinking my front tire is flat on my one bike, so when we get home, I have a compressor in the back of my truck. I'm going to pump up my front tire, pull it up in the trailer. I'm going to do all this before it rains. Well, by the time I get to my house, it is pouring down rain, thundering and lightning. I hop on the one bike, pull it up in the shed, up in the trailer. I run over and go on the other bike. It's pouring down rain. I pull it up in the shed. I go on my lawnmower tractor, pull it back in the shed. I'm drenched. I'm soaking wet. And the air conditioning on, so now I'm freezing. So I go put dry clothes on. I didn't expect all this, right? So I never took my air compressor out of the back of the truck. Now here's where the story gets interesting. I get here this morning at 6:30. We had three canopies out here. All three of those canopies are blown and mangled up. Two were ripped, literally. The top was ripped. Two of them, the metal was bent so bad. And so you know what I did? I went out there and tried to push them all together, and it wouldn't work. And I'm out there by myself trying to close up these canopies. Finally, I just drugged the one over by the dumpster and said, well, that's destroyed. And so I tried to prop up the other one and getting help to put the other one out there. But here's what happened. When I was pulling up the canopy, you know, the last leg of it, when it popped up, the stake popped up, and that muddy peg hit me right here in the shirt. Now, it took me 10 minutes to find this shirt this morning, okay? I'm thinking, it's a white shirt. I had mud all over here. I went back here in the kitchen. I literally took my shirt off in the kitchen and washed it in the sink this morning, back here in the church sink. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, now how am I going to dry this? And this little voice said, you got an air compressor in the back of your truck. So you know what I did? I went out there, and as I was standing out here blowing up my shirt this morning, I'm like, I literally prayed to God and said, Lord, thank you for allowing me to have that flat tire so I have this air compressor to dry my shirt off this morning. All that was unexpected, right? All it was unexpected. But knowing what I'm going to preach today, I had to give God the glory, right? But isn't it true that it's through those times that you do not expect? Isn't it true? Those are the times, God already knows about them, that we have more opportunity to give the glory. Because God designed you and me to have the capability to notice what's awesome and amazing, right? Don't we crave, like with me with photography, I look for the beautiful sunrises and sunsets and things that are extraordinary. But there's something in me that when you look at certain things, it goes, wow. Do you know the fact that we can say wow is a fact that our God is so good, he put that in us? Now, let me tell you why he did that for you and me. So that when we see the ordinary and then we witness our Savior's work, we step back and we say what? Wow. Now that's different. How many times in your life have you gone through a hard time and even maybe the enemy's got you distracted? Then all of a sudden God interjects and even sometimes you're through the fire, you're through the water, then all of a sudden you step back and say, God, now I see it. Wow. I never would have met so-and-so. Just like with the COVID, what if we would have canceled this VBS? Like I know the enemy was fighting so hard. When there were over 20 people in this church that was sick just a few weeks ago, some of you even said, Pastor, I don't know, you think we should? Remember I told you, if it's me, I said, if it was me, I even said Joan, if it's me and Joan, we're going to do it. Right, Joan? I said, we're going to do it. I'm not going to let the Satan. Now, let me tell you why. This week, I have names of people in my mind now that I never would have met. I would have never met Ethan this week. If it wasn't for Vacation Bible School. I would have never met little Maverick this week. That her mom was going up 26 and saw the banner out here. That's why they were here. Casey and Maverick was here because of the banner. Never would have met little. Now Maverick was a handful. I mean, he was a handful. Even I've never had this happen before. I had an elderly saint this week call me up and say, "Pastor, the Lord has put in my heart that there's some little child that just does not want to sit still at Vacation Bible School, and I'm praying for that little child." I said, "That little child is Maverick. Pray for Maverick." But God is so good. But as you get in this, you'll notice that sometimes, because Mary and Martha have a brother who's sick, they did send word to Jesus. Jesus already knows that he's going to die. He knows that, right? But he doesn't show up right away. He delays because he has something that he wants to teach the world through Lazarus. And so we see the disappointment in Mary and Martha. And look at verse 17. When Jesus finally shows up to Martha's house in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for days, right? And now Bethany was 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them. And now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Jesus. And look, Mary's not there, it's just Martha. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But let me tell you something. Isn't that how we are? Passive aggressive Christianity. "Lord, if you would have just been here, but what? Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." If you only been here, was Jesus there? Let me tell you, God was there. And we struggle with that, right? When people say, "Pastor, where was God through this?" He was right there with you, hurting with you. That's where he is. That's where he was. And even if you go back and even look at verse 5 and 6, I love verse 5. Look at the relationship that Jesus had with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, because it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." But notice what it says in verse 6. What's the very first word of verse 6? "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. But John says he loved all three of them. So when he heard it, he loved them so much to stay back for a few days. Because he's going to show them something they would have never seen if he would have got there a day earlier. Right? Or a couple days earlier. And so what happens? They're disappointed. First, Martha's disappointed. Then Mary comes out. In verse 28, look at verse 28. "And when Mary comes out, she said these things, and she went her way, and she told Mary. And as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came to Jesus." And look what she said in verse 30, as we go on. "Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in a place where Martha was." Look at verse 32. "Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you," what? "My brother wouldn't have died." And that's all she said. She was very aggressive. "Lord, if you would have just been here, things would have gone my way." Right? But see, Jesus already told Martha, "Martha, I'm the resurrection of life. Jesus had already told Martha that he was going to raise Lazarus, and she missed it. She goes, "Yeah, I know he'll be raised up at the last day." But let me tell you what happens. Mary and Martha are great examples of Christians who put their God in a box. God is in a box. And they think they have it all figured out. And anything that happens outside that box, they push back. "That can't be my God." And Jesus is teaching them a very valuable lesson. You see? Because he even just told Martha, "No, I'm the resurrection of life. Do you believe that, Martha?" "Yeah, I believe he'll be raised at the last day." No, Jesus was saying now. He's going to resurrect him now. But here's what I love about my extraordinary Savior also. Look at verse 33, because notice the distress in Jesus. Look where it says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Even Jesus is hurting here. This is God in the flesh. You wonder what God does when we hurt. He's hurting with us. Now listen to me. Did Jesus already know that Lazarus was dead and in the grave? He did. So this has nothing to do with the discovery that Lazarus is dead. This is not what causes this grief. This grief is caused when a perfect God, the perfect Creator who is holy, is standing in the presence of a bunch of people in front of a grave, and he sees the penalty of sin with his own eyes. For the wages of sin is death. And he's looking at this entire scene, the weeping and the grieving and the death, even the stench from the grave. And it breaks his heart. It causes our Savior to groan, to grieve, right in the midst of us. But he sees it, he sees everything. And I love in verse 39 where Jesus says, take away the stone. And Martha said what? Said, Lord, it's going to smell bad. You know, he's been there for days, for 4 days. And Jesus reminded Martha of something. He said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see what? Here it is again. I want to show you God's glory. Give me a chance. Martha, didn't I tell you? Take the stone away. Yeah, but you don't understand, Jesus. Isn't that what we do? Oh, Lord, I want you to do it this way. And the Lord's like, I'll answer your prayer, but it's not going to be that way. But you don't understand. He understands. Because it's all about his glory and your good. He knows what's best, right? But I love when you get down here where Jesus, what does he do? He says a prayer. He lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Wait a minute. What has he said yet? What has he said yet? What does that tell you about your prayers? I thank you. You've already heard me. Right? And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So this week at Vacation Bible School, everything that we taught all this, that they may what? Believe. Not in me, not in you, but believe in our extraordinary Jesus and believe that God sent him. And then what did God, Jesus do in verse 43? With a loud voice. I can't wait to see when I really do believe when we get to heaven, we'll be able to say, hey, Jesus, can you show me what that looked like? If we can do what we do with Michael with the video, what can God do on his video screen, right? Here, let me show you. Lazarus, come forth. And there's a good thing that he said the name Lazarus, because he would have just said, come forth. What would have happened? Who knows what would have happened, right? But look at this. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him. And let him go. Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews, now look at verse 40. This is actually sad when you keep reading. Because many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, they believed in him. Isn't that awesome? But you know what's sad? It wasn't all, it was just many. Because look what some of them did in verse 46. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will take away both our place and nation. And so you know what they did? They conspired. And they made a vow, we're going to have to do whatever we can to kill this man. We got to get rid of him. And it wasn't long after this when our Savior went to the cross. You realize this was just before he went to the cross. As a matter of fact, they didn't want to just get rid of Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Lazarus too, because he was a testimony of the power of God in Jesus. So here's my question for you today. Do you believe? What about you? Do you believe? You know, I was sharing a story. If you look real close at my shirt this morning, you'll see a couple stains. Because even when I got done, I was thinking about, Kathy, just bring me another. But here's the thing, I was thinking that no matter how hard I try, let's say if you look at this one button here, there's a stain on that button. I couldn't get out. There's this one little speck, right? Can you see it from where you're at? This one's darker than the rest of them. You'll see it later. But I want you to know this. I want to tell you how pure my God is. He said for anyone to come into his presence and get to heaven one day, how pure must we be? 99.9? 100% pure, right? And here's this is why our Savior is so extraordinary. See, we're ordinary. He knows that we can't do it on our own. So he came and died in my place on the cross and was buried. And what happened 3 days later? He arose from the dead. He did that to take my place so that my sins could be dealt with. So that God would be satisfied. And so when I, as that little boy sitting in a Sunday school class years ago, when I heard the story of the great shepherd and I bowed my head and asked Jesus to come into my heart and wash away my sins, he did. Now, how many sins did he wash away? All of them. He knew what they were, but I didn't. I'm still experiencing them, but he already saw it all, and he forgave me for it all. I still go to him and ask for forgiveness because of the fellowship, but not because of the relationship. And no matter how hard you clean and how hard you try to get it clean, there's still something there that you can't get, right? So God says, I don't want you to be the one. I'm the one that's going to clean you up. Don't worry about getting cleaned up and coming to me. You come to me and I'll clean you up. Right? So maybe you're here today. I don't care what your age is. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I have never received Jesus as my Savior. I'll never forget years ago. And it was weeks, I think it was 2 weeks after she prayed. Shelley Dwyer prayed. She was sitting right there when she prayed to receive Jesus as her Savior years ago. And she came to brought her kids to a fun day with Earl and Mary. Remember that, Shelley? And later she told me, she said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. A couple weeks ago at the end of the service, I prayed with you and received Jesus as my Savior. And then she said this, what's next? And I told her, there's a creek in the bottom that you're going to get baptized in, didn't I? She's like, what? It was cold. I was just kidding about the creek. But how about you today? How about you today? Do you believe? If you'd like to put your faith and trust in Jesus, you can do that today. If you're young and you don't understand what I'm talking about, you come see me. But if you're older and you understand what I'm talking about right now, you can do it right there where you're sitting. I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to close my eyes. And maybe today is the day that you would like to call on Jesus to be your Savior. Today is the day you would like to put your faith and trust in Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and in your mind right now, and you know that this is the moment, he's calling out to you, and you want to trust him as your Savior right there where you are, you can pray to him at first. Just admit that you're a sinner. That's where it starts. In order to understand you need a Savior, you need to realize you need to be saved because of the sin in your life. So right there, you can pray, Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I admit that I have sinned and I have fallen short of your glory. I admit that. But I believe that Jesus died for me and was buried and rose again. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it. Therefore, this morning, I choose to receive Jesus as my Savior. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Right there, as you cry out to him in your heart of hearts, I promise you he'll come into your life and save you. Thank you, Lord, so much for seeking and saving the lost. Thank you so much for this week. Thank you so much even for this day. And Lord, we look forward to the future, to seeing what you're going to do in and through us. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that you're coming back soon. But until then, Lord, we want to be found faithful. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this morning to receive Christ as your Savior, please don't hesitate. Come and see me. I would love to talk to you more about it and even set up a time so I can even spend some time discipling you. That's what I love to do. So please see me. I'd appreciate that. Now, Michael's going to come up, and we sang this song Friday night, and I told you we'd sing it this morning. Now, me and Michael, I love this song, In Christ Alone. Randy's going to play it. Now, what verse is it, Michael, when all of a sudden we have to build it? We start off real slow, and then all of a sudden we just get real loud.
In verse 3 where it says, "They're in the ground as the body lay."
Is that it? They're in the ground, the body. We're going to like do it real low, and then Michael's going to go, what are you going to do to make us sing louder?
I'll just yell at you.
Okay.
All right. Let's all stand, please.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving ceased. Comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. Chris is going to come up and close with some prayer before we go back. And Chris, I want you to pray for a few things. First of all, pray. This is the, again, if you would like to give towards the missionaries, Sarah and Junior Araujo, that's what the offering's for here. And they're in Arequipa, Peru. And so, and then this thing's changing without me changing it, Michael. But also, I need help. I just got a phone call last night from my friends at Christian Farmers Outreach.
On Monday the 26th, which is not tomorrow, but the following Monday, I'm going to be going up at 12 o'clock at lunchtime at the York County Fair, and I will be there till 10 o'clock at night, and all I'm going to be doing is sharing the gospel. So if you are interested in going up, and you can go up there for a couple hours, for 1 hour, 3 hours, you can stay the whole time with me if you want, and I will show you how I use my wristband, and all I do is give out a free gift if you want to hear the gospel. But I do need help. And I promise you, you will have a blast. And I won't put you in an uncomfortable situation. I'll let you. Anyway, just if you want to go with me, if you're interested in sharing the gospel, just let me know. I'd like to have five or six folks help me do this. And it could be that spark in you that starts that will not go out. Okay? That's next Monday. Also, volunteers needed. Now that VBS is over, just like right now, have you noticed the back-to-school specials? So I'm seeing the back-to-school advertisements already, and the Christmas will probably start next week, right? But this is back-to-school this week. These are some things I want you to start praying about. You know what? Because I'm going to be talking about gifts. But maybe right now you say, as we look forward, because I told the children on Friday night, I want them to look forward to a Awana ministry kicking off again. We don't have it right now, but we want to kick one off. And all these things, I need folks to help me lead these ministries. So if that's something that you're interested in, please let me know. Now, I got one question for someone before. August 29th, there's five Sundays in August. Our tradition here is that whenever there's a Sunday, a month with five Sundays, that last Sunday we have a lunch like we have today. The next one is August 29th, and I want to thank everybody for bringing the food in. But is Will and Lily here? Will and Lily. Can you both come up here just for a second? Because tomorrow's going to be a big day for them. And I'm going to have them even come up later in the year. But they're going to be gone for a few weeks because I want you to share real quick. Because I want these folks to be praying for you guys. Because they are stepping out and doing something they've never done before. As a matter of fact, where you guys come up here to the mic. Where are you guys going tomorrow?
We're going to Anderson University in South Carolina. That's where we're going to school.
Now, what are you going to be married to? I'm sorry. What's the word I'm looking for? What's going to be your major? I said majoring in. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm majoring in social work.
I'm going to major in engineering.
In engineering. Now, and so we're going to be praying for you, okay? Now we're going to be back because you're going to go there and you're coming back. I'm not sure what week you're going to be back, so that's why I want to make sure we prayed for you today.
We'll be here next Sunday, I believe. Right?
Next Sunday, you might be back?
On Wednesday.
Okay. Be back on Wednesday.
It's a quick trip.
Okay. And now, Will, pray for him because he is a baseball player. He's got a full scholarship in baseball. What's your position?
Pitcher.
Okay. So you need to protect that arm, right? Protect that arm. Okay. So, Chris, can you do me a favor and pray for this couple as they're heading off to go to school? And then pray for the meal. And thank the Lord for this day.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to be able to humbly bow before you today. Lord, you have blessed us so much. Lord, we just think of this week of how you worked in these children's lives. And Lord, not just their lives, but our lives. Lord, as we serve you together, Lord, we are so honored and blessed that you have that we're part of your family, Lord. And Lord, we know that we can do nothing without you. And Lord, as I think about the what went on this week, Lord, and it was all because of you, Lord. Lord, you work through us, Lord. You give us the privilege to be part of the blessing of seeing you work, Father. And Lord, as we serve you in the future together, Father, I just pray that you would lay on each and everybody's heart here, Lord, what you would have them to do, Lord. And just to remind them, Lord, that we cannot do it without you and that you do it through us, Lord. So, Lord, just help us as we be faithful to you, Lord. I think of Will and Lily here, Lord, as they're going down to college, Lord. I just pray that you would just bless them, Lord. And Lord, most of all, Lord, that you would help them to be different, Lord, that people would see Christ in them. And Lord, that they would stay faithful to you, Lord, as they serve you and learn more about what you would have them to do in the future. Lord, that you would bless them. I thank you for the Raho family, Lord, as we have supported them, Lord, through this week of giving the gifts that the children brought, Lord, for them, that you would bless, Lord, and anybody who wants to give now can come up here, Lord, and give more to them, Lord, that you would bless them in their ministry as they work for you, Lord. Lord, we think of the CEF that pastors mentioned of going up with soul winning, Lord, and that's amazing time as I've done that with him before, Lord, of sharing your gospel, Lord. And I just pray for your blessing upon that, that you would just raise up helpers, Lord, to go up there, and that you would work in and through us, Father. Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to have. We just pray for your blessing upon it, Lord, and that you would just give us a great time of fellowship together, Lord. And Lord, as always, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.